Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Hosea chapter 2, praying for the hurting spouse. As we follow along in Hosea, we learned last week about if your spouse leaves you and goes to go do something on her own, that what God sees, but also the fact that God looked at Israel that way and how he looks at the nation, even America today, the Christians in America and their morality, and you know how he wants them to truly follow him, but he doesn't really know. Today we learn about praying for the hurting spouse as we go into Hosea chapter 2. It says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 1, "Say of your brother, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one." Which is this good, because a few verses back in chapter 1, God was saying to her, "You are not my people." Now he is saying, "You are my people." Verse 2, "Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts." The heart of Hosea as he's pleading on his wife's behalf, that she needs to be rebuked for what she's doing. And then on behalf of God, it is God pleading through him of the nation of Israel. This is the message to preach to your wife, Hosea. God is giving the message to him to give to Gomer. And Hosea could relate as his heart was broken to. His marriage was in turmoil. His wife left and was going out doing who knows what. She possibly had children with other men and was sleeping around. But Hosea could relate to what God was feeling about his people as his wife was doing these things. Verse 3, "Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery." Just think about how Hosea is receiving that message about the people, but also about his marriage and about his situation. She is conveying a message of ungodliness to the people, and he is connected to that through their soul connection. It must have torn in his spirit as he was hearing God proclaim these words. Verse 5, "Their mother has been unfaithful, and she has conceived them in disgrace. She said, 'I will go after my lover, who gives me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink.'" Hosea, looking at his daughter and understanding what God is saying. Looking at his children and understanding how God feels, because he loves Gomer. He loves his wife. He loves the mother of his children. And what is the price that she's left him for? She's so concerned over stuff. She's concerned over what she can get. What do people go after when they leave their spouses? Or ultimately, in the broader spectrum, they turn away from God. What was she seeking? It says here, food, water, wool, linen, olive oil, drink, all commodities of the time. The word drink in the Greek means wine. That she was going after alcohol. She was seeking after the drink. What did Gomer seek after leaving Hosea? She sought what she thought was the freedom and gaining necessity. Then also the happiness of alcohol. She gained the embrace of other men for those things. Ultimately, she went against God's covenant of marriage to seek after her own selfish desires, which is what all of us do with God. We all seek after our own selfish ways at times. We all leave God due to what we believe are freedoms of necessity. We leave what He created in distrust that He can fix things to go after alcohol. We seek the arms of another so we can fulfill our lust and our fleetness. A nation of children doing what they want to do, what they believe is right, what they think is better than what God would desire, and it breaks His heart as it broke Hosea's in his marriage. Verse 6. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. This is a great verse. If you're like Hosea and your spouse has left you due to sin, what God is saying here is that He will not allow Gomer to be a successful sinner. That He sees their marriage and Hosea's pain. And because of that, God is going to intervene because God loves marriage. Which compared to the nation, God is saying, I love the people of Israel. I will not allow them to be successful in their sinful ways. I will block her from the sinful path that she's on, and I will wall her so she can't find her way to those sins. God will not allow her to find what she believes that's healthy, that she's looking for. Verse 7, she will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She will never be satisfied with her lovers, because God loves us, and He will not let us be successful in our sins. And if we are trying to sin and trying to do things against Him, He will not bless that. Verse 8. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold which they used for Baal. She had her perspective in the wrong place. She received the grain from God. She got the oil and the things she needed from Him. He supplies all her needs according to His riches and glory, not the people that she was sleeping around with or relying on. And people can get caught up in that. They can think, well, I need to rely on this or do that or do this in order to get what I want. I even bumped into a woman on South Street one time. And she was drunk and I gave her a track and she said she didn't want it. Then I said, God bless you. And she got about 10 to 20 feet from me. She turned around. She said that she was a Christian and that she was struggling because she needed to get herself drunk because she needed to go to a strip club to make some money. Instead of trusting God to take care of her needs, that God would take care of what she was dealing with, she decided to rely on herself and try to make the money herself. And that's the thing. We need to rely on God. Baal, was connected to all these necessities that we're talking about here. God is saying here the necessities were provided by him, and instead they attributed this to a false god. God was Israel's husband, not Baal. They were attributing all their needs to Baal, and Gomer was attributing all her needs to prostituting herself or to going off on her own and leaving her marriage so that she could get what she thought she needed and take care of herself. How can I let her find those necessities under Baal? God would say, I can't, because she's attributing her successes to herself and to her lovers. Then in the bigger picture, how can God let her follow a path that ultimately leads to eternal damnation and death? How can God allow Gomer to think she gets her necessity from adulterous, sinful ways, from not being connected to her husband and running around doing whatever? In Hosea's case, he instituted the marriage, and she is stronger together with him. In Israel's case, they're stronger with God and not attributing their success to some whore, false deity out of the Tower of Babel. God says, I'm going to make it so hard for her to succeed that she will remember her marriage, she'll remember her husband, she'll realize what she should be doing in her life, and she will return. Which Proverbs 13:15 says, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard and leads to their destruction. The way of the unfaithful is hard. God can't let transgressors have it easy and has to make it hard so that they will ultimately back to him and to their spouse in Hosea's case. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it's ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her naked body. God's going to take what she believes is hers and what she earned, then take it all back as she does not acknowledge him. God will take away whatever we leave him for. If you walk away from the things of God for whatever it is, he will take it away. He will not let you flourish or have longevity in sin. Verse 10. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. To Hosea, his wife will be blocked off from prospering in any way while being exposed and having revealed what she is doing. Then with God, he will reveal to Israel what she is doing to him, that she will have everything removed and prosperity will dissipate. She will have every path blocked off until she returns to God. This is beautiful. Verse 11, I will stop all actions, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed festivals. This is a crazy verse here in verse 11. It says here, if you read this correctly, that Gomer is religious. But there's no reality to this. This is a woman who goes to church, then decides the way that she wants to live and not follow God. That's a funny part about this. She goes to Sunday church, is involved with events, and goes to play religion, then because of that leaves and goes to do whatever she feels like doing. She leaves her husband and her children when she pleases to go and be involved with ungodly behavior, then goes to the Sabbath and believes she atones, then goes back out again to do whatever she wants for the other 6 days. She plays a role in church on Sunday, then goes and drinks her wine, sleeps around and gets paid for it. She justifies doing it based upon going to a festival. There is no atonement, no sincerity, no repentance, and it's all a game to her. which I've seen with some people. They believe they're in the right with God as they do this. They truly believe in their hearts God wants them to leave their marriages, to do whatever they want to do. They truly believe that they go to church once in a while, or even every Sunday, that atones for their sinful behaviors for the rest of the week. When walking with God is habitual, sin is habitual. Because everyone sins, but habitual sin is what judges. That you get drunk every Saturday night and go to church on Sunday believing it atones for that. You sin in some way all week long and think because I went to help at the church on a movie night, it fixes what you did. Gomer was a religious woman, it says here. That's an oxymoron. She was a religious hooker. Not someone who was struggling with being a prostitute, but openly enjoying it and walking habitually in that sin. Verses 12 is, I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said was her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the day she's burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot me, declares the Lord. God is saying, she forgot me. She forgot about God. The New Testament says that God's Holy Spirit is jealous for us. He has a healthy jealousy when we decide to go away from Him. Forgot about Hosea. She left. Maybe she checked in with him from time to time, but she felt she forgot about him and their marriage. God felt that way too. Not long before this, God had Elijah confront the people and say, if God is God, worship him. If Baal is Baal, worship him. Don't go between them. It says in 1 Kings 18, Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord. Then he said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Some altar, at some point, he took 12 stones, he rebuilt it. Some of the people had been in idolatry for so long that they never saw a sacrifice to God. 3 times the water was poured on it. Then Elijah prayed that their hearts would turn back. Then this quick, they went back to Baal, it says in Hosea here. Now he says what he will do with her as and when he comes back. And he uses I a lot because God is active now in these next verse. Verse 14 says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I will speak heartfelt to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. The valley of Achor, which means the valley of trouble. I will remove the trouble she has and lead her to a hope that she's forgotten about. She will return to me. As Gomer would return to Hosea, God says, my people will return to me. Verse 16, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. You will no longer call me master. Like you're just a maiden in my house. That God looks at Israel and she will say, my husband. That Gomer will look at Hosea and say, my husband. Which makes me wonder if Gomer was hanging in some places with Hosea watching her. She was drinking and involved in camaraderie with some other people, or worse, another man. On her way, hired for a trick. That he looked across the room and thought, one day you will call me husband again. As he looked across that room at her, one day you're going to call me husband again. Verse 17, I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be involved. In that day I will make a covenant for them. Covenant, which is like a marriage thing. We make a covenant with our spouses, with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground, bow and sword and battle, I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. We make a covenant with our spouses. We promise them that we're going to stay true to them for the rest of our lives and that they become one flesh with us. This is a day ahead of us, that one day, God says, there will be no more war. There'll be no more battles. That most importantly, there'll be no more fighting. There'll be no more arguing. There'll be peace among couples for eternity. This is a beautiful verse here, verse 19. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. You will be mine forever. I will make you righteous. I will make you just. Verse 20. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. The word betrothed there in those two verses is like to woo a virgin. I will woo my adulterous wife, my wife who left me, and she will come back as a chaste virgin. Whenever the rabbinic Jews pray, and you go to Israel, and you see those Orthodox Jews there, and they're wrapping their telephone phylacteries around their left hand to pray, they actually, when they're reciting the verses that they're praying, they're reciting these two verses here. They're reciting Hosea 2, 19 through 20. So in their hearts, and while they're praying, their hearts are in Hebrew, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. The two they say as they bind the word to their left hand and pray. Verse 21, in that day, I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those called, not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. That is a beautiful, beautiful finish to the sermon today. I want to pray for anyone here who's struggling in their marriages, or anyone today who's struggling on a deeper level with God. You know, some of us, we look at God and we think, well, God doesn't love me, or God doesn't care about me, or, you know, God thinks of me in a weird way, or this or that. You know, God looks at us as a chaste virgin, as a bride adorned for her husband. God wants our marriages to be complete and wants our marriages to be fixed. So today, if your spouse has left you, or if you're struggling in your marriage at home, or whatever might be happening to you today, just remember that there's hope. And look at Hosea 2 and pray some of those scriptures for your situation. You know, your spouse may not be committing adultery. Or you may be the one, you know, maybe one of you is committing adultery. The husband or the wife is committing adultery. We don't know. I don't know your situation. But I want to pray that, you know, your marriage will work. And that God will restore it. You know, it's hard when you watch your spouse doing certain things, acting a certain way, and you know, I just want to pray that as you look across the room and you look at your spouse and maybe they're involved in something or doing something they're not supposed to be, that you can look at them and say, one day you will call me husband or wife again. Let's pray. Father God, I just lift up this time to you, Lord. I pray the scriptures today that we read in Hosea chapter 2 and ask, Father, that you would move in them. That, Lord, anyone who's listening to my voice right now who may be struggling in their marriage, that if their spouse has wandered away, their spouse has left you, left them, left the things of God, that, Father, you would return them. That, Father, you would put a hedge between anything that would cause their marriage to be hindered. That, Lord, you would work in their spouse and you would work in them as well to help them to be the husband or the wife that they are called to be. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And, Lord, help us to remember the beauty that God has for us, the love, the great love that he has for each and every one of us. And I thank you for that, and I give you praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message, then please listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Thank you very much and have an awesome day. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.